This week on Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
Hubba, 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 hubba.
Hello and welcome to Buffy the Gilmore Slayer. I'm Brian Morris.
I'm Stacey Kulo, and we're both comedians.
And a couple.
And I just watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, one of Brian's favorite shows, for the very first time.
And I just watched Gilmore Girls, one of Stacey's favorite shows, for the very first time.
We watched both shows together, all 7 seasons, comparing them as we went.
And now we're watching and comparing 2 other shows from the creators of those 2 shows, Joss Whedon's Firefly
and Amy Sherman Palladino's Bunheads.
And this week we're discussing episode 8 of both shows, starting with Firefly, Out of Gas.
As well as Bunheads, Blank Up, It's Time.
I'm going to be honest, guys, we'll talk about this. I feel like Firefly was legitimately a great show, and like I'm sad that it didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll really flop at the end, but...
It's worth saying that there's flaws, but honestly, I feel like it's just episode to episode, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I could see it not being for everyone.
Sure.
Like, it is similar to Buffy in some ways, but, like, I could see Buffy fans being like, no, this is, like, a totally different genre that I'm not into.
Totally.
But it still is a well-done show, and it's funny, and it has heart.
But I do not feel this way about Bunheads.
As a show? You've decided you don't like it?
I mean, I've been trying to give it so much room, and I'm not going to say that it won't turn itself around, but I find fundamental issues with, like, every episode.
Yeah, it really feels like... It's setting up different things, trying to figure out what's the most fun, which is a thing that happens in season 1 of shows, I think. But I don't know. Knowing that it doesn't actually go anywhere, it's a little not fun to watch.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm interested to see where they're going with all this Sasha stuff. Yeah, but this one had some issues.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. Man, we've been up to so much. We... recorded a few kind of back-to-back. You guys don't know that, but we left town, so we had to record some. So it's been a while since we've done this, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
We went back to our homeland, the Midwest, where we met. Brian and Stacey were born, individually and as a couple. And we performed at an improv festival for Atlas Improv Company, which was celebrating its 20-year anniversary.
For those of you who may not remember, we have been in this company from... Well, myself, almost from the very beginning.
Yes, it started in 2004. We got in 2005.
And we, though, you and I, we're definitely there for the founding of our theater.
Yes, the current theater was established in like 2012, I think. 11 or 12.
Since then, we've gone back to check in with the new blood and to do shows here and there. But
blood because it is a cult.
It is very culty.
You have to pay homage every few years to check on the blood.
But because it was the 20-year anniversary, we decided we were going to go back.
Yeah, they do this every year. They do like a marathon, and they invite us. But because it was the 20-year, we're like, this is the year we should go back for sure.
But also keep in mind, we usually have already just come back for Christmas or other holidays. So it's like, do we want to take vacation time and spend money to fly back because we were just there? So normally we don't do it. But this year we did it, and we convinced a bunch of our fellow Atlas alumni members to come back, and it was incredible.
Yeah, there were probably like 10 or 12 alumni there. Some still live in town, but others flew in as well. Like people that we hang out with here in New York all the time, as well as people from the West Coast.
We saw some great improv. We got to see a lot of our old friends, some people who were in the company now. It was amazing to see how much they've grown as performers. And we just saw some great improv and did some great improv. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's really great that the company is still like going after all this time. So it's exciting to see people keeping it going because it meant so much to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were a little nervous because we personally have not done improv, at least on a stage in front of people, since before COVID and probably not a while before that.
Right.
I probably did a show in like 2018 or 19, maybe. So it had been a minute, but the first night was a tournament that you and I entered as a 2-person team. You could enter as a group of 2 to 4 people.
Yeah.
And we won.
No big deal. No one's keeping score, but we did win by the score.
There were some other good teams. It wasn't like, you know, we just were beating a bunch of newbies. But yeah, there was like judges. And we did it. And then I think we were very empowered the rest of the weekend to just do some good improv.
It was super fun. And yes, we did win. And yes, we did get a trophy. It's no big deal. Stop talking about it, guys.
And we stayed up till like 6 in the morning the last night.
Oh my God, just playing like improv games. It was like a week before I totally recovered from all that.
There's this really stupid game where you have to like guess something via like pantomime and gibberish. And it's just, it's very fun to play late at night and like make the things really like silly and dirty almost, because you don't usually get to do that for stage.
Right.
So we stayed at the theater like forever just playing that. And we got home and went to bed. And we're like, I hear birds. We need to go to sleep right now. The birds are coming. But that was great. We also survived an earthquake recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The big one.
We did feel it, if you were wondering. I know you guys were like, Brian and Stacey, are they okay after that earthquake? We are.
We survived it.
But we did feel the earthquake and the aftershock. Our apartment vibrated for like 20 seconds.
Yeah. And our cat didn't seem to care.
No, no. Our apartment vibrates from time to time anyway, from random construction and whatever the super does outside.
Yeah, so it wasn't that shocking. It took us a while to be like, oh, this is an earthquake.
Yeah,
this
I feel like by the New time York. We were like, we should maybe take cover or something. It was over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was exciting. It was a big day for New Yorkers.
In other news, we've seen some movies. I saw Godzilla and Kong, and we saw Problemista. What I'll say is Godzilla vs. Kong is like what I wanted it to be. It's not a good movie, but I was like, it's fun though, watching CGI monsters punch each other, and CGI is pretty good now, so it looks pretty good. I was like, this is good. You got the pacing down. People talk, minimum amount. We also saw Godzilla Minus One, which had a great human story. Which, so like, when it went to the humans, you're like, cool, I want to hear about you guys. But generally with Godzilla movies, you're like, cool, I don't care about you guys. I want to see Godzilla do stuff.
Brian mentioned too that we saw Problemista. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I don't think it got a very wide release, and probably by the time this comes out, it will not be in theaters anymore. But if it comes to streaming, I would check it out. It's very creative and very inspiring about following your dreams and all the struggles that pop up when you're just trying to follow your dream. It's a good story for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, should we dive into the shows?
I think so.
Great.
This week we started with Firefly. Stacey, can you give us a quick summary of Out of Gas?
Yes. Vroom, vroom. That motorcycle's not out of gas for
yeah,
now.
Sorry, guys. There's just motorbikes going around our town right now. Our town. We live in a town
our
now.
Our town. The town.
In our backwater town of New York City.
My voice may be bad. Is it? I don't know. I've been a little coughy. I have like the weirdest illness. It's only a cough a couple times a day, but otherwise I feel fine. Anyway, Out of Gas is, I guess, I kind of called it a bottle episode. I don't know if that's completely accurate, but other than some flashbacks, it takes place entirely on the ship.
Yeah.
Just a very simple little story about a tiny problem that the ship has, but it causes all kinds of chaos. Like, everyone almost dies.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of flashbacks in it as well, and we get a lot of backstory about how some of the characters first met Serenity, the ship,
mm-hmm.
that we hadn't gotten all that backstory for yet. So it opens with shots of the ship being seemingly empty, like abandoned, people left in a hurry. You get a few shots of that, and then suddenly Malcolm collapses onto the ground. And he has a little memory of the day that he first introduced Zoe to the ship. He had just bought it. This is a very Veronica Mars flashback. Like, the lighting is sort of green and blurry. That's how all the flashbacks are.
Yeah. That's how you know it's the past.
Yes. And he's like, Zoe, isn't this great? What do you think? She's like, I think you got robbed, and this is a piece of junk, and it's a death trap, and it's going to break, and you should get your money back. He's like, come on, girl. You'll come around. And then he reveals that it's not even running currently.
Yeah.
He kind of left that to the end. But he's very optimistic that this is just going to be the best thing that's ever happened to them. And then it cuts back to him having collapsed. And we see that he is bleeding. After the opening song, he gets up and we see another flashback. So I should say, this whole episode is told in kind of three parts. There's, I guess we'll call it the present day story. And then mm-hmm. there's also slightly in the future where Malcolm seems to be alone on the ship. We kind of flash back and forth between those, as well as flashbacks from different time periods leading up to the beginning of the show. The beginning of the show as a whole, not just this episode.
Right. So as Stacey already set up, this episode starts with Mal, like, bleeding out on the ground. It doesn't seem good. So something catastrophic has happened. We don't know what. We know Malcolm is bleeding and he's got some part he picks up and he's like walking around the ship seemingly alone.
Yeah. So he gets up and we get another flashback to just a super fun dinner everyone was having. Shepard has just told a funny story about his time in the monastery. I wish we could have heard it. They all find it so funny. Maybe it was about his hair because that was very noteworthy last time.
There's a lot of small touches here too. Wash shows up late. He was piloting the ship, setting something up. And he mentions, as per the captain's request, that they are like sort of way out in the boonies of space to like avoid detection. So they'll just have a pleasant butt long ride where no one can find them.
And did you then say also butt long?
Pleasant butt long.
Oh, gotcha. A pleasant butt long ride.
Yeah. Like ass long, ass load. Anyway.
You did say butt long, but it made sense. This is important, though, because they're flying somewhere for some job, but they're trying to do it under the radar. So they're, like, really avoiding other ships. That's important.
Like I said, there's a few kind of fun things here. Like, he sits down next to his wife, Zoe, and she's like, hey, I saved you food. And she does a lot of, like, very affectionate things to him, like, tucks his napkin into his shirt. They're just being affectionate. This is just going to set up some stuff that's going to happen later. Jane also, weirdly, keeps calling Inara Inara, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense with his character, that he just, like, wouldn't learn to pronounce someone's name correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's being kind of a dick, because Simon's story is too long.
So, they set up Simon to tell a story next. Like, it's your turn to tell a funny story. And he barely gets into it. And Jane is just like, all right, Inara, your turn.
You got some good whoring stories. Which, surprised she doesn't snap at him more than she does. This is all a distraction because it's actually Simon's birthday. They found out because a new wanted poster came up. It was sent out by the Republic or the Federation or whatever it's called. The big conglomerate people, the hegemony, whatever it is. They send out his wanted poster and it had his birthday on it. And Kaylee has made him essentially a protein cake because they make a joke about they don't have much else, but it's got frosting on it. So it's like a nice moment where they're celebrating Simon. Everyone's having a good time. And then
suddenly there's a dip in energy, not just of the characters, but
just everyone's like, I'm tired.
But of the literal ship, like everything kind of goes blackish for a moment. Everyone's like, what the hell was that? People go to check it out. And River says, fire. And the candles are still going. He was just about to blow them out. He's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I should blow them out. But this is not what she meant. She had a premonition. There's a fire on the ship. There's a big explosion, sort of like a door pops off and like hits Zoe. She's hurt very bad. And it soon becomes clear that the ship and Zoe are not moving. Walsh should go figure out what's wrong with the ship, but he's not leaving Zoe's side. He's like, you need to go to the bridge right now. You got to help me figure this out. And he's like, I'm not leaving my wife. So Malcolm kind of like beats him up until he gets to work. I'm torn because like, I get not wanting to leave you if you were suddenly hurt, but like also if I was one of the only people that could like ultimately fix this.
Yeah.
You do need to be on top of that as well.
And that's really interesting because right before that, Kaylee is kind of freaking out and he is like very gentle with her. And it's like, you know, I need you to like pull yourself together. I need you to go do this. Don't worry about her right now. I need you to like worry about the ship.
Yeah, because everyone's freaked out that Zoe's injured and nobody wants to go figure out what's wrong with the ship. But he like needs that.
Yeah. And he's like, I need you to do it. And it's a little weird because he calls her good girl, which I'm like, what is your relationship? That's weird to say to somebody, especially a subordinate.
They don't have an HR department.
That's true. Just a little Joss speak getting in there.
Yeah, it felt weird, but maybe it felt less weird 20 years ago. I don't know.
But it was an interesting contrast of how he dealt with her as opposed to how he dealt with Wash. Because I feel like he isn't particularly nice to Wash about it. Though Wash does need to like not, he does need to do what his captain says.
Yeah. Then we get a flashback to Wash meeting the ship for the first time. It's like his interview / meet and greet. He's shown up in a Hawaiian shirt and a mustache, just kind of checking out the cockpit. And then Zoe takes Malcolm aside. She's like, I don't like him. He's just got bad vibes. I don't know what it is. It's kind of funny because we know that they end up together. So clearly Someone changes their mind. And Malcolm's like, no, he's the best. He comes highly recommended. And he's going to go great with our genius mechanic. And then we see a guy who is not Kaylee. He's more Godot from Bunheads coming out of the engine room. He's just like sort of a long-haired beach guy with like his shirt off.
Yeah. He looks dumb as shit.
Yeah. Back to Zoe. She's not doing well. They have managed. So there was like a fire, an explosion, and they briefly couldn't get her to sick bay because they had to like seal everything off to like vent out the fire. But now they're able to take her to sick bay. She needs adrenaline. Cut to Malcolm in the timeline slightly in the future where he's alone. He's stabbing himself with adrenaline, trying to get himself going so that he can save the ship by himself. Back in the timeline where everybody's still there, Kaylee informs Malcolm that there was some part of the engine that broke. It caused the explosion, and the explosion knocked out life support. Not only that, but the fire that they briefly had burned up a lot of the oxygen that they have. So they really only have like a couple hours until everyone suffocates to death.
So not good news to hear.
No.
He calls her a bad girl.
He did not. He beats up Wash for no reason. Inara comes to say hi to the injured Zoe in just like a sexy nightgown.
Yeah, she's just wearing this weird pink dress. I was like, what is this, a slip?
It's kind of bridesmaids dressy. It's just like kind of a satin, solid colored dress. But yeah, it's very low cut. She kind of talks to Simon for a while. He's like, this sucks. It just happened on my birthday. Yeah. That's really the only takeaway from that scene.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that moody about it, but he brings up that it was his birthday. River goes to visit Shepard. She sees that he's reading the Bible, and she says, you're afraid we're going to suffocate to death, but we won't. We'll freeze to death first.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun misdirect where you're like, she's being positive, or she knows something, and she's like, nah, we're going to freeze to death.
But also, like, usually what she says is true, and that does not happen. So it's interesting that she thought that. Do they all freeze to death eventually?
I don't believe that's going to happen. No.
Okay. Wash reluctantly has set a beacon so that they can send a signal to get help. But he's feeling pretty existential about all this. It's not going to work. Zoe's going to die. So then him and Malcolm just kind of like scream at each other about their feelings until they come up with a solution. That was pretty funny. Malcolm's like, well, you could set this thing to beep, boop, beep, boop. And he's like, well, then maybe I'll do that. It was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jane comes in. He's like, stop fighting. You're going to use up all the air. But that was also a misdirect because you thought he was going to like tell them they should stop fighting and help each other. But he was just concerned about the air. Cut back to the past. Malcolm is searching for Godot because they've been on the ground for too long. They're not taking off. He's trying to figure out why he isn't working on the engine. And it's because he's boning some lady who's hot for engines. We don't see her face for a while because she's like getting dressed with her back to us. But it's Kaylee who's just like figured out what's wrong with the engine mid-coit. She's like, I figured it out while I was on my back down there. And she just like fixes it real quick. Malcolm's like, you work on ships a lot? She's like, no, I've never been in one. And so he hires her?
Yeah, he hires her on the spot. And like, do you know that she's going to be doing this very well? Like she fixed one thing by removing a part that maybe you need.
Yeah, like she seems better at it than Godot because he couldn't fix it and she did immediately. But like that doesn't mean she'll be able to fix anything else.
Right, right.
Her dad works on engines is like the little bit that we learn. Because someone asked her, like, how'd you do that? She's like, I just did it. Like, I don't know. She's probably why the ship falls apart in this episode.
Yeah, probably. It would have been great if she was like, oh, that part was important. Godot's name is Bester. I wrote that down.
Bester?
His name is Bester. We can keep calling him Godot because he doesn't matter. But
right, yeah. I knew he said it, but I was like, I'm not going to write it down. So he fires Godot, hires Kaylee. Back in the timeline where everyone's on the ship, Malcolm goes to talk to Kaylee in like caveman talk. I feel like they're both just like have regressed in their syntax. I don't know. Like they're saying like don't instead of doesn't. I think they do that sometimes, but it just felt like a lot in this scene.
Yeah.
Where they're both just like not using proper grammar.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of like catatonic, I guess. He's trying to get her to fix the part. She's like, it's broken. He's like, okay, but fix it. And she's like, well, it doesn't fit anymore and I don't have another one. He's like, you gotta work with what you got, girl. And he eventually, through gibberish, talks her into fixing the engine.
This is where she's like, yeah, but also we don't have life support.
And then we see Malcolm slightly in the future, injured, bleeding out, cold and dying, trying to fix this part in the same way. Like he has done this before with her. Or, you know, at least has discussed with her what needs to be fixed.
Yeah, because she shows him, like, this is where the part goes, but it's broken. And then we see him in, like, the present, when things are bad, trying to add this part in. And, yeah, he drops it. But the question we don't have answered is, why does he have a working part?
Mm-hmm. So Malcolm makes an announcement that they have two shuttles There's 9 of them. They're going to send out 4 people on each shuttle. I kind of figured this out at some point, that that's probably what had happened. Not that just like everyone died, that he somehow had them abandon ship to conserve oxygen. I believe that the doctor and River and the Wash Zoe family is going on one, and Jane, Kaylee, and Shepard and Inara are going on the other.
Sounds right.
And Malcolm's going to stay back in case someone answers the beacon. Inara talks to Malcolm. She doesn't want him to go because she loves him. And he's like, no, I have to. I'm going to stay. We'll be fine. Also, don't trust Jane or let him take over.
Yeah.
He's like, he'll be useful, but just don't trust him. And then we get a little flashback of Inara touring the shuttle for the first time. Because as you may remember, she rents out the shuttle for her business and her home. And basically she's like, I got a ton of rules. Like, I need privacy. You can't come in. I'm not going to have sex with anyone who works on this ship. Also, you're going to rent this to me for super cheap because I bring respectability to your operation.
Well, first she says, you're going to do it because you want me.
Yeah.
And then she's like, to bring respectability. It's like, okay, another misdirect, because he does want her.
And he's like, well, why do you want our shitty ship, whore? And she's like, well, I'm not going to tell you. Also, don't call me whore.
Interesting thing about that is he doesn't call her a whore until she says that she supported unification, which is what he fought against.
Yeah.
But what's also funny about that, I've said also funny, what's also funny
also
is Jane just called her a whore in this episode, and she kind of snapped at him, but not that much. And also, he has broken, like, all these rules, because he has definitely just shown up in her room a million times.
But she's like, let him come in, though. I mean, she says, like, you can't come in without permission, but maybe he does just come in. I don't know.
She does. She gives him shit for it. She's like, I didn't invite you in, like, all the time. I have to say, I really like a lot of the transitions that they've done. They often, when someone opens a door in, like, one of the flashbacks, it'll flash back to a previous one where we get to see how he met the crew. So the flashbacks seem often very smooth and natural.
Yeah. And it was also, like, never confusing what was happening with jumping around in time. But it is also interesting that she doesn't tell him why she wants to be on this ship in particular. That's not really answered.
Right.
So back to her about to take off on the shuttle. She's again begging him to come with so he doesn't die alone. He's like, we're all going to die alone, I think is what he says. That's ominous. Are they all going to freeze to death alone?
Alone, yes.
At the end of the series?
Mm-hmm.
So Wash has Malcolm all set up on the bridge. She's prepared a big red button that he has to hit so that we know the stakes. That will call the shuttles back if he finds a solution or get someone to help them. Jane says that he prepped some suits for him in case he needs to go out into space. And Malcolm's like, I'm not going to need those. He doesn't need those. That's interesting that they even set that up. I thought for sure he was going to like end up in a suit at some point or like using the oxygen tanks. Why wouldn't he just hang out in one of those for a while once he started to like go purple?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he thinks he'll have enough oxygen because it starts to work out for him. It isn't until he gets shot that he starts to be like, oh, I'm running out of oxygen.
Sure. So the shuttles leave and Malcolm gets a little blanket and cozies up on the bridge, waiting for someone to answer the call. He falls asleep, but pretty soon he gets a scrambled call from a ship that's approaching. And this dude is a big old dick. He doesn't want to help Malcolm at all.
I have to say, I do see their point. Like, every time we meet anybody, they are like, let's double-cross everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, on the edge of space. Or not the edge of space, but the edge of, like, civilization.
Time.
So, it's not that crazy.
Yeah. This guy's afraid that he's going to be getting ambushed. And Malcolm's like, no, I'm purple. I'm dying. Can you not see? Probably not. It's a shitty connection. But they agree that they won't bring weapons aboard and that they're going to give him this part that he needs. Quick flashback to when Malcolm and Zoe are meeting Jane for the first time. Very similar situation where they're making a deal with Jane and a couple other guys who definitely have brought guns to a deal and are just trying to steal their stuff. And Malcolm sees an opportunity to trick Jane, who he can tell is kind of selfish. He asks him how much he gets paid. And Jane proudly says he gets 7% of whatever they get. And Malcolm kind of scoffs at that. And he doesn't say how much, but he offers him a much bigger cut and a private room. So Jane clearly took him up on that offer.
Mm-hmm. I thought the scene was pretty funny, just the way that he's all like, they're just kind of tricking him. You can also see that he was impressed by how Jane tracked them down. So they actually did want him.
Yes, because Jane was the one that found him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he found him. Like, they just found his ship and thought they would make a deal, but actually ambush.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the guys come aboard. They do have the weapons. They search his ship. They figure out he is alone. He is telling the truth. He does need that part, but they don't care. They see opportunity. A guy who's not super strong right now, they're going to take the ship. And they also shoot him for some reason. But Malcolm also secretly brought a gun, and he holds it up. I guess, there's a lot of them, but I guess he also has a gun. So whatever. It does seem like they should be able to take him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to kill one of them. None of them want to die.
Yeah. He's like, get off my ship. This isn't going down. But they also have dropped the part that they brought, which they leave because he's got a gun on them.
It's worth mentioning that they were both earlier like, I don't trust you. You don't trust me. And Malcolm's like, before I open my door, show me the part. And so that's the only reason they even have the part is because he demanded that they show it to him. Otherwise, they would have just walked in and killed him.
Yeah. So this is how he gets the part. This is what this injured Malcolm has been trying to fix this whole episode. He gets it in the engine. The engine works. He's just got to make it to that big red button. And he gets to the room where the button is and collapses before he can make it. But then he wakes up and everyone is there in sickbay with him, including awake Zoe. We find out that she must have woken up somehow and told her shuttle, no, we're going back to get Malcolm, regardless of the big red button being pushed. Jane's like, we were going to come eventually, too.
Yeah, we were going to come back, too, but it's something's wrong with Inara's ship. She did something. She must have broke it.
Oh, yeah, because it smells bad. She's like, that's incense.
She's like, okay.
And we see that Wash is giving Malcolm some blood. He's all out of it and woozy.
Yeah.
Malcolm.
But I think that's to let us know that he, even though he and the captain had a big fight, they're good now.
Yeah. They're blood brothers. Mm-hmm. It's unclear how Zoe got better, but she must have and got all captain-y. Malcolm drifts back to sleep, and then we get one last flashback of him wheeling and dealing with some real shady space car salesman. I don't know.
This guy's got shade written all over him. Yeah.
Trying to sell him some giant ship, and Malcolm is just kind of ignoring him, looking off into the distance where he sees the Serenity.
And that's obviously the one he gets. So, yeah. Stacey.
Yeah.
Did you like this episode?
I did. It was very fun. I like a told out of order story, and mm-hmm. I've been saying I want backstory on some of these characters, and we got quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the ones that we hadn't really gotten the backstory of yet.
Yeah.
Including Godot.
Once again, Godot, because I know there's some real Bester heads out there. His name is Bester.
I'm sure he comes back.
I don't think he does. Cool peck tattoo he had, though.
Yeah.
The show's just good. Yeah, I did a lot. I mean, every episode's got like heart, like emotional stakes, and there's enough tension between the characters, like the unspoken love between Inara and Malcolm that is like good, but you also have tension between Kaylee and Simon. Like, it's just all good. And Jane is always funny.
Yeah, a lot of them don't really like each other that much, but like they're still a family that like has fun sometimes and puts up with each other.
That's the big family element, right? Like you don't always like them, but you love them, with the exception of Jane, who probably does not like or love any of them.
And you need them. In a lot of these cases.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really likes the doctor, except Kaylee. But they, like, really do need him. He saved all of their lives.
The main things, though, in this show are, I know Stacey's pointed out that I keep calling River Summer, because that's the actress's name. But do you guys blame me? River and Summer, I just feel like it's in a category of names that go together.
Yeah.
I would like to get more of her. She's funny enough, but, like, she's such a big part of the plot, but I feel like she gets, like, four lines an episode.
Yeah, that's like such an interesting thing that they don't deal with all that much. But I'm sure they really, really will eventually.
It's clearly something like, we got to put this in the back burner because this is the big plot.
They also probably can't make her like too powerful too soon, because I bet she does have a lot of abilities that would make them more invincible than they want them to be for this like struggle portion of the series.
Well, I mean, I don't remember her having psychic ability, but she clearly does.
Yeah.
I don't think she can tell the future. Because you were saying that they'll freeze it. I don't think she can tell the future, but I think that she can tell stuff around. Like, she knew there was fire before anyone else did. And she's also clearly, like, responded to people's thoughts.
She had little premonitions like that, too, I think, when they were on the ship that had been abandoned by, like, the people that were going to a new world and all of them died. She, like, had some kind of feelings about that.
Yeah, you might be right. It's still super vague, and I don't think it's ever going to be super clear what she can do.
Any other thoughts on this one?
No, I just liked it. I also loved that it was just the plot was that they're in a ship in space that had a part break. Like, that's the plot. And, like, it spirals out of control from there. And I kind of love that. It's like, it's a simple thing. That would be an issue and a huge worry for anyone doing space travel.
Yeah, for real.
Like, a boat can float and stuff in the water for a while. You don't want to lose your engines in a boat or lose your communication. But you could, like, theoretically survive somehow for a while on a boat. But in space, it's like, oh, we're going to freeze and run out of oxygen. Like, there's so many things.
You can't fish in space.
No, thank God. Because that would mean they're space fish, and I don't want them anywhere.
Space fish.
You know about the movie I'm going to talk about? Space fish?
I wouldn't be surprised. Should we move on?
Yeah.
And now for a special segment we like to call Movies One of Us Has Never Seen.
As you guys know, we used to use this portion of the podcast to talk about Charmed, a WB show airing around the same time as Buffy and Gilmore Girls that neither of us had ever seen, and honestly, I never want to see.
Oh, some of them are good.
Okay.
But now we're taking turns making our partner explain what they think happened in a movie that they have never seen, based only on the title and very little other information.
This week, I have chosen a movie I think Stacy has not seen. Stacy, have you seen the movie Watchers 2?
Yes. No, of course not.
I was going to say, there's no way on this earth you've seen this movie.
Two? Have I seen Watchers?
No, but nobody has, and nobody cares about Watchers. So. Wait,
are they related? This is not one of my questions.
Are they related? Yes. Are they plot related? No.
Okay.
It's like Troll and Troll 2.
Is it? Because that's a really weird situation where they're not actually related at all.
No, it is more related than that. It's just sort of like someone made Watchers and they were like, what if we did it again, but like we don't talk about the first one.
Okay. So as you know, I now get to ask three questions that will help me figure this out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I can't ask what a Watcher is, can I? I feel like no.
No.
Okay. How many Watchers are there?
That's unclear because it's not like abundantly clear to me what a Watcher is.
Oh, no. What is the genre?
Science fiction horror. But I would say there's between one and two Watchers, I would guess.
God, what one question will give me the most information? So there's the year, there's who's in it, there's who, like, the audience is. Can you tell me the most famous person in it?
Mark Singer.
Oh. Is that the bald guy?
I don't know if he's bald now, but I can tell you he's also known for being in Dead Space and for being in Beastmaster. He plays Dar in both Beastmaster 1 and 2. That's the main character.
Both movies, which I have seen and love, absolutely.
You constantly forever. Talk about those movies, Beastmaster.
I was thinking of Mark Strong.
No.
Who was in all kinds of stuff. Okay, so we've got unknown how many Watchers there are in a sci-fi horror with a man I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Also, it stars the female lead in the movie is Tracy Scroggins.
Love her work in this and all the other films she's been in.
She's been in a lot, it seems like, perhaps.
And that's not always a good thing. So, I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna give you one more little, I'm gonna give you some freebies here, okay?
Okay.
It is based on the book by author Dean Koontz, and it involves two characters who share a psychic link. Giving you extra stuff here, because I love you, and I think you can be able to get this one.
Okay. So the lady character, right? She lives alone on a farm. That's how most of mine start. And she has like a terminal illness that she's sort of dealing with alone. And one day there's a knock at her door and it is Mark Summers. What's his name?
Did you just say Mark Summers?
Yeah. What's his name? That's the guy from Double Dare. What was this guy's name?
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer shows up and he's like, oh my God, I was just driving by and something compelled me to stop. And she had just had like an episode, like she collapsed and he helped pick her up. And, you know, they have a conversation and it turns out that there's like a lot of overlap in their life. And they're like, well, that's weird. Huh. Let's be in touch. So he goes on with his life. She goes on with hers. She's struggling right. with this illness. But, like, mm-hmm. they keep getting brought back together. And it's not even, like, romantic, but just, like, he finds himself near her when she needs help with something. Like, mm-hmm. there's another part where she's, like, at the grocery store. And she can't quite reach a very important ingredient that she needs to make, like, a healthy
very important
smoothie.
Very important ingredient for her smoothie. So her smoothie has an important ingredient that is difficult to reach?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
what it's, is, it's not a fruit, because so, they don't keep fruit tubes super high at the grocery store. It's a
protein powder that they keep mm-hmm. on the top shelf for all the tall jock types.
Right. Before we go further, obviously, I know you know that a dog plays a huge role in this movie.
Yeah.
So I know you haven't got to that yet.
Yeah. So her service dog, Floppy.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a good feeling about Mark Singer. No, what's mm-hmm. his last name?
Mark Singer. Yeah, you're right. But his character's name is Paul. But we can
Paul.
He doesn't like the actor. So that probably made shooting this very difficult.
At least that's how it seems. Like, he's always barking mm-hmm. at
yeah.
Paul whenever he comes by. There's another part where it's, like, late at night, and she mm-hmm. is, like, wide awake. She's struggling to sleep because of her disease keeps her awake. So she just, like, suddenly has a feeling that someone is in the house, and it's Paul. He's in the house, and he's like, I don't know how I got here. I didn't drive here this time. I wasn't at the grocery store. I was in my bed, and now I'm here. And, you know, through the course of the movie, we find out that there are, like, aliens that are putting these two together because she is at a difficult point in her life and she needs someone to help her with stuff. So throughout the course of the movie, we find out that there are aliens
yeah.
that are
watching.
They're watching. They're the watchers. We don't know how many. There might be one. There might be two. There might be hundreds. But we learn that there's a set of aliens that are watching Earth, and they're putting
a set of aliens. That sounds like two.
There's a set group of aliens. There's some aliens.
There's other groups not assigned, but this one,
we don't know what they do. We'll explore that in Watchers 3. But this group is in
Watchers 3. I don't think so. Maybe Watchers 4, Watchers Reborn, starring Mark Hamill, but not Watchers 3.
But they are here to make sure certain Earth events happen the way that they're okay. supposed to.
Right.
Because Paul and this woman are supposed to make a baby.
Oh, shit.
That will...
While they watch?
Become, like, yes. One of the watchers is, he's a creep. He wants to just watch that part. He's not...
He's the one that set them there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But they are supposed to have a baby, and she needs to live in order for this baby to be born, but, like, she needs yeah. help because she lives in this farmhouse and she can't help herself and she can't reach yeah. the things she needs.
Totally.
But they eventually do have this baby who goes on to be, like, a great leader of Earth.
And the aliens are they like that.
Yes, because they need Earth to go well for their own alien bullshit, like in the ecosystem of
for
the
their own alien bullshit.
They need Earth to survive as far as they're concerned. It's one of the chess pieces that they need for these watchers have seen a lot of possible timelines.
Oh, wow.
And the dog is there for a lot of it. Very cute dog.
I got it. Okay. Okay.
And the dog really loves the baby once it's born. Did I miss anything?
How does the movie end?
It ends with us seeing this alien spaceship. Like, we kind of zoom out from Earth and we see that it's the aliens. We learn that that's the case. And then we zoom out even further and see that they're watching planets all over the galaxy.
Oh, creepy.
This was not explored in Watchers 1.
No.
So that was a big reveal.
Watchers 1 with Corey Haim?
Yeah. That was just about kids who watch TV.
Okay. So did you mention the psychic link?
Because
it sounded like it was going somewhere with that, but then it...
Kind of.
It just
but
a small part of the movie?
It's just like Paul keeps knowing he's supposed to get to this woman.
Mm-hmm, I got it.
But he was sleeping that one night, so the aliens were just like, fuck, he's not going to wake up. We have to just put him there. So they, like, picked him up like a sim.
Got it. Interesting. It sounds like a good movie.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much right?
Nah.
Anything?
No. There's the dog I told you to put in the movie. But other than that.
Floppy.
So this Watchers 2 is I mean, you could call it a sequel to Watchers 1, but it's not connected to it at all. It's the same plot. So Watchers is a book I read when I was a kid by Dean Koontz, and I remember loving the book. I will say in retrospect, it's not a great book. It does like the Koontz formula where it's like, there's a guy and he's a loner and he meets a woman who's beautiful, except she's got like one tiny scar and he loves her anyway. That's like every Koontz book. There's like a woman who's beautiful, but she's got like a scar in her tummy. And
from her cancer surgery. Yeah, I said all this.
But the guy loves her anyway. And there's always a super smart dog. But this movie and this book are like the ultimate smart dog. So the movie's about the government has, for some totally stupid nonsense reason, come up with a plan where they're going to make a dog super smart that can infiltrate enemies. Like they could send it into over enemy lines and no one will think anything of it because it's a dog, but it's a genius dog. And it'll set up traps and stuff or like essentially gather information. And then they will release the monster that they've created.
Oh.
They've created this monster who has been designed to track this dog and like hate this dog. So it tracks the dog. And then it'll go into enemy lines and like kill everybody.
What?
Yeah, that's so they send the dog in first, who like gathers intel, and then the dog gets out of there, and then the watcher will like track where the dog went because it's got anger issues and will kill everybody that's there.
Who are the watchers? Just some other foreign government?
So I don't know specifically if watchers are A, the government, or B, the creature. But I think the government is supposed to be the watchers. Because this movie's definitely got like conspiracy theory, government controlling people. Like they're also searching for, because the dog gets out and of course then the creature gets out trying to hunt the dog down. The dog meets the loner man with the scar woman and they're just trying to evade both the government and the creature that's hunting them.
Is this from 2011?
No, this is from 1990.
There's another Watchers too on IMDb.
There may be, but it's probably a different movie. There is Watchers starring Corey Haim and a guy in like a gorilla costume as the monster. Then there's Watchers 2, which is the one that more closely follows the book. Then there's Watchers 3, which is awful, takes place in a jungle. And then there's Watchers 4, which has Mark Hamill in it when he was at his lowest career-wise.
It's weird. I don't see it on IMDb, but I believe you that it's a real movie. I do think my movie sounds a little better. I didn't go into all the details. There's a lot of interesting stuff that happens. But
Watchers 2, 1990.
Well, it sounds not great. So did you like the movie?
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was about aliens with Watchers in the title.
I mean, that's fair.
And like, just the idea that you didn't know how many there were seemed like kind of a mystery.
Yeah.
It has a 4.4 on IMDb. That's not good.
No. I think that your movie sounded great. Probably a lot better than Watchers 2.
Oh.
But a smart dog would be cool.
Agreed. Okay, well.
This has been Movies One of Us Has Never Seen.
Then we watch Bunheads. Brian, give us a quick summary of Blank Up It's Time.
So this episode is about Fanny coming back, about Boo getting a new role, about Michelle meeting a new love interest, and also about Sasha losing her shit and having like some consequences happen.
And Fanny having an old love interest.
Yes, yes, because he's old. Episode starts with the girls getting ready for Fanny's return for class. Boo shows up with some shitty roses and flowers. And the other girls give her crap. They're like, are those freeway flowers? You bought them on the freeway? They're already looking bad. So she just chucks them as opposed to like even giving them to Fanny because they suggest Fanny won't appreciate it. And then another girl shows up, which I guess we've seen before. And she's got what I think look like decent flowers where the girls are like, are those freeway flowers? And she's like, no, they're grocery flowers. And they're like, it's just as bad.
I think grocery store flowers are a little better because some grocery stores have like floral departments.
I agree, but probably not in this town where there's not even a movie theater.
Probably.
Michelle goes to get breakfast at Fanny's house. And when she opens the door, there's a really tall old man there making breakfast.
Michael.
His name's Michael. He seems cool. This scene is, I actually like this scene because she wants to address the elephant in the room, which is what I call him because he's so big. But she wants to be like, who are you, you know, without asking that because he's wearing a bathrobe and he seems very comfortable cooking food. So he's probably supposed to be there.
Yeah, he's just very in his element. So she's doesn't immediately assume he's there to rob the place.
Right. And probably it would make sense that he just slept with Fanny.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm making breakfast for Fanny. I've made so much. Why don't you just eat with us? And she's all like, oh, no, because you're about to take that to bed to give her breakfast in bed. And I don't want to be part of some kind of kinky breakfast. And I do think the joke of her saying kinky breakfast is pretty funny. She's just like not sure what to say and like stumbling over her words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's like, no, we're just going to eat in the other room. And then she's like, I'm trying not to be sexual. I'll just have like a non-kinky breakfast. And then she picks up a banana. Wah, wah. That's sexual too. And then she just leaves. But the guy clearly is like there to hook up with Fanny.
I wanted his eggs. They looked good.
They did look good. Although he says his eggs are nothing without paprika.
Wasn't it cayenne?
You might be right.
I don't remember. Yeah, he's looking for spices and he can't find them.
As the girls are getting ready for class, Sasha shows up and just does some, you know, light insulting of the people around her for no reason. Just to remind Jess that she's not a nice person. Fanny is there and this scene is weird. She like taps her cane several times, indicate that they're starting or about to start. And Sasha and Jordan, who is, I guess, the best male dancer, they just like do this Fred and Astaire dance.
Fred and Astaire.
Yeah, that's what I said. Astaire Rogers dance. Is this from Singing in the Rain? I don't know, but it's like a famous dance.
Yeah, they're like all watching a video of Ginger Rogers dancing before that. I don't know what it's from, but yes.
But then we see her dance with Jordan, and it's like fabulous. Like, actually, the actors that did this did a very good job. And it looks good, and it's clear they've perfected this. And they're both, like, narcissists. They're like, who needs to practice? Not us.
Yeah, and Boo was like, that was great, Jordan. And Jordan's like, I know.
Yeah, he sucks. There's also a funny line from Fanny where one of the kids is like, it's nice that you're back. It was, like, bad that you were gone. She's like, I'm always here, even when
I'm never gone. I'm always here.
Yeah.
But you thought it was weird because Fanny, like, demanded that it was time for class to start, and then they're all just still, like, stretching and pretend dancing.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening right now? Like, who's on set? Like, the scripts made it clear, like, Fanny wanted class to start. But then Fanny shows up, and she starts talking about the show schedule, and she's very upset. Not at first. She pretends she's not upset, but she says that they won't be doing one of their dances because the venue decided to book cheerleaders as entertainment instead. And then she kind of sits on that for a minute and just starts, like, ranting about how stupid that is and how gross cheerleaders are.
There's a couple things we skipped here. When they're watching the Ginger Rogers movie, the girls mention how they talked faster back then, mm-hmm. and they specifically say it's funnier when it's faster, which is just such like a meta joke.
Yes, absolutely.
Of Amy's style. This episode is written and directed by Daniel, I believe, but still.
No, totally. And then Fanny notices that Sasha has tan lines on her back, a crisscross, indicating that she went out in the sun in a swimsuit. And she starts giving her shit for having done that. She's like, that's one of my rules. You don't go in the sun. And they did set that up in a previous episode. Fanny goes on to say, like, ballet is just a very visual thing. So you can't just go out in the sun and get tan lines. Sasha's arguing with her, like, I didn't mean to get it. I got some sun, whatever. And Fanny's, like, really drilling it hard. Like, it doesn't matter. If you want to be a ballet dancer, you got to follow my rules.
Sasha did have one kind of funny line. She was like, you're not supposed to have that. It's bad that you have it. She's like, I know. It actually kind of hurts. Because, like, sunburn.
Yeah. But then Fanny's like, fine, you're not doing this Astaire dance. Boo can do that. And that seems to hurt Sasha because she's so good at it. How could they give that to Boo? Cut to Fanny talking to Michelle. And Fanny is mad at Michelle for not having done some gardening while she was gone. And I have to say, guys, I know I'm such a negative Nelly. But this episode really just started to piss me off. Like, Fanny's character is so absurdly demanding that, like, I don't believe this person exists or that we would like them. I've said this before. But Emily was a villain whose perspective we understood. Like, we got her motivations. But Fanny is just mean and demanding of everyone for no reason other than, like, she just demands it. Fanny in this scene suggests that Michelle should have done some gardening for her. Why? You just left her without telling her to run all of your classes and all of her extra classes to help pay for shit you own, Fanny, that she's letting you stay on. And you're also mad that she didn't do extra gardening that you probably didn't ask her to do. Because you have a gardening crew that comes in. So that just already made me mad. Like, just it's crazy that she's demanding that of Michelle or being shitty about it. But then she says, hey, I'm going to go see this play. You're going to come with me. It's in L.A. And Michelle's like, I don't know if I want to go. And Fanny's like, well, you should go. I don't see what the problem is. I'm paying for the ticket. Why are you saying no? You're not going to be doing anything else. But when she said that I'm paying for the ticket, I'm like, girl, are you though? Because you just had Michelle teach all of your classes so that you could pay your bills. You're buying it with the money she just made for you?
Right.
Shut up, Fanny. But Michelle doesn't really have anything. So she's like, all right, I'll go with you.
The play is called Blank Up It's Time, which is the title of the episode.
This is funny. She says, Blank Up It's Time is the title. It's some swear word for the first word that they have to put a blank. And then Michelle like goes mentally through her head, scrolling through all the dirty words it could be.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that was kind of funny. She's like, oh, I forgot about you.
Yeah. But there really isn't one that I can think of or that Michelle could think of.
I can think of one. It's very crass.
What letter does it start with?
It's a three-letter word that starts with A.
Ass?
Ass up, it's time. Like, put your ass in there, we're going to bang.
Oh. Yeah?
I can't think of anything else it could be.
You could be calling someone a fuck up. Fuck up, it's time.
Let's go, fuck up, it's time.
Yeah, if you think of it, let us know.
Yes, please do. Fanny also mentions that Mike is her lover, her part-time lover, but they like to keep it casual. He just stops by when he can because he's a traveling musician. They're just keeping it cash. That's all.
Yeah, because Michelle's like, why isn't he going to play with you? Like, what's going on with you guys? How come? Are you lovers? What's happening? Are you dating? And she just says he doesn't like plays. He'll tolerate musicals, but he doesn't like plays.
The girls, that Saturday, sneak out of their, like, leadership program. I'm not totally sure why they're doing this program at all, but they sneak out of it.
I don't know why we needed to see any of this, really. They set up at the beginning of the episode they were going to be doing this, and then they sneak out of it. But this, none of this really was important to, like, set them up to be at school for any reason.
Yeah, I don't even know where they go, because the next scene that I have written down with them is, like, Boo working. So I don't...
Yeah. There's, like, a brief moment where she thinks, like, Sasha's going to have pranked her locker. Because the girls in the scene are like, oh, Sasha's probably really mad at you. She's going to do something mean to you.
That could have been said at the leadership meeting.
Yeah. Or just, like, after ballet, the day that she got the role.
Totally.
But, yeah, she, like, trepidatiously opens her locker thinking, like, there's going to be heads in there or something.
Yeah. Or, like, a bunch of fake IDs.
It's a Veronica Mars reference.
But Boo has nothing to worry about because the next time we see her is at work where she brings over an extra dessert she made specially for Sasha, who's there, like, studying or doing some kind of homework. And Sasha makes it clear that she's not mad at her. She's not upset at all that Boo got that role. And Boo's kind of like, did you do this on purpose, though? Like, she doesn't say that, but it's, like, kind of indicating, like, why did you get tan lines? Like, you hate the sun. And this was kind of funny, too, because Sasha's like, I love the sun. People change.
Yeah.
Like, they go from hating sun to liking sun. That was kind of funny. But it's clear that Sasha is at least not mad at Boo about it. But Boo, I think, is letting us know that Sasha is, like, rebelling for attention.
Yeah, which we already kind of gathered in the last episode.
Right. Or there's some other thing, but that seems to be what's happening. Oh, also, Fanny makes Michelle drive her because she's been drinking. Fanny's so demanding. So Michelle drives her to this play. When they get there, there's a Eastern European woman with very large legs that refuses to get up for her when they're trying to walk by. This becomes like a running bit.
That's what they say. We don't really see this woman's legs.
Sure. But I'm just going to go by what the character says.
Right.
But the woman is being absurd.
A weird choice. They just kept saying this woman had big legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, this woman is obnoxious. She's like, you got here too late. I don't have to let you through to your seats. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
They point out the play hasn't even started, but also, yeah, you just let them in.
Yeah, if the play had started, maybe I'd be a little pissed that I had to stand up for someone. But like, it had not. You got to move, lady.
And also, I would just do it.
Yes. I would grumble, maybe, if the play had started. But
so they watch the play. Michelle takes Fanny's drink that she just brought with her. I don't know where that... I guess she maybe bought it, but it looks like a giant wine. Michelle drinks it. At intermission, Michelle's like, I gotta pee, but I'm gonna use the Ortega method. It's actually called the Ortega maneuver. My mistake.
So Kenny Ortega, she uses this guy's full name, has directed a bunch of Gilmore Girl episodes. Maybe Bunheads, too?
So it's a little Easter egg.
He also directed High School Musical.
Interesting. The maneuver is where she waits until just about the end of intermission and then goes to the bathroom because the line will be mostly gone. And when the lights flicker, most people will run back to their seats because they don't want to miss anything. Well, she does this, but apparently the large leg lady is in the bathroom and intentionally, perhaps, taking additional time to make her late. So Michelle can't get back to her seat. She doesn't want to make a whole scene, so she just hangs out in the back. Where she runs into the director, who we know as Mr. Digger.
Jason Stiles.
I don't know the actor's name. I should, but I don't.
I saw it in the beginning of the episode, so and I knew he was in the show at some point. Chris Eigman? E-I-G-E-M-A-N. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I love him. I think he's great in this and Gilmore Girls and Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Yeah, I also think he's great.
I don't know. He's just great at the Paladino dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it. And I think they like him, so they ask him to do their shit because he delivers it well.
He's in the back. His name is Connor, which this doesn't matter at all. But in my head, Hubble will always be Connor from Succession.
That's
not important, but it was an interesting connection to me. He's in the back just complaining and grumbling to himself as he's like writing madly in a little notebook. We find out he's the director of this play and he's upset with the actors and actresses for jumping on lines or taking too long to move something or not going across the stage when they're supposed to. And he's taking notes and he's pissed about it.
He doesn't know what the play is about. Like he didn't write it. He doesn't like respect the play at all.
Yeah. She says hi to him and he's like, yeah, I wish I was. That's funny. He's very upset. But they seem to hit it off.
He's very charming.
Flirty. Yeah. But when she goes back to her seat at the end, Fanny's like, oh, did you want to like boff the director? I could wait in the car or I could drive home and you could take a train. She's like immediately like, oh, I bet you want to bang this guy. That's cool.
Because he's a director and he could get her
and
a role.
And could get a role. I don't know. It's just such a shitty thing for Fanny to say. Like,
Fanny's very old school.
That is true. That is true. But it seems like the fact that he might get her a role is also like a secondary thing. Because she's like, you know, if you just want to have a quick bot, like, I know you love sex, you whore. Connections.
Stop.
She says quick boff. I wrote it down.
She says boff, for sure. Which is not a word I've regularly used or maybe ever. Have you?
I mean, maybe in some time in my life, I knew what it meant. She probably just wanted some alone time so she could boff Mike. Michelle's like, I don't need to do that. But she must give him her number. Because later he calls her. I don't know when this happens. It could have happened off screen, though. Next day at the studio, Mike is going to maybe tune the piano. He's just with Fanny, and they're at the piano, and he's like, this needs to be tuned. And she's all like, don't do it. You'll hurt yourself. I do have to say this. I think the show does a good job of showing us Fanny being very nice to Mike. Like, I feel like she's very reasonable and not demanding of Mike, unlike every other person. Like, that's she tells him not to tune the piano because she doesn't want him to hurt himself. Later, she's doing dishes, and she's like, no, you cooked. I do dishes. You don't have to do this. I just feel like she would demand other people just do that shit for her or, like, not turn down help. She's also watching sports with him, which she may be into sports, but I kind of got the impression she got into sports because he's into it. I could be wrong.
I like the addition of Michael. I get a feeling he'll stick around, but it does feel like a late game. Like, we need to add something to Fanny's character. How can we do that? What are we going to try to bring out of her? And maybe it is kindness.
Sure. It's nice to see a different side of her. Also, I feel like he's going to be a guy who like leaves and then she gets sad and he'll keep coming back. It would be like the show doesn't because it ends, but like he would be a reoccurring love interest. But we find out that Jordan has dropped out. He doesn't want to do the dance anymore. So Boo is super bummed, especially when she sees his replacement is going to be some kid named Carl.
Carl
is shorter than Boo, which she hates. He's nerdy, and he's overly enthusiastic, and probably not. Well, he's definitely not as talented as Jordan.
Yeah, he's not Jordan is a reason as well.
Boo's very upset about this. She says to Fanny, like, he's too short to be with me. I just want to make it clear that does not bother me. I've made jokes or talked about how I'm short. It doesn't bother me that she wants to dance with someone that's, like, her height or even taller, because that makes sense given what they're doing. They're not... Not saying being short shitty, but for this particular thing, yeah, you probably want someone that matches your height or is taller for like a dancing thing. I get that. But she just like starts shitting on Carl. She's so upset that Carl is going to be her partner. And Fanny even points out to her, like, don't you think it's a good idea to try the unexpected person sometime? And you can see Boo like reluctantly be like, I guess that's what's happening with me.
Yeah, this really bothered you.
It bothers me a fucking lot. Because later she's just complaining about having to be with Carl and how she's sad that Jordan didn't want to dance with her. And I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. You're upset that Jordan doesn't want to dance with you, but also upset that you've got to dance with Carl. Like, that's exactly what you're mad at Jordan for.
Right.
Like, you're mad at Jordan for the thing you're doing. I mean, I guess she's not pulling out of the dance, but, like, it's also a huge opportunity for her. So I just, like, it really bothered me. Also, like, Carl might be a bit of a nerd. And he may not be as talented as Jordan, but they don't set Carl up to be like a freak.
No, he's just really, really eager.
Yeah. But we then get to see another side of Carl. When Boo's at work.
At the Clammery.
Yes, at the Clammery. Boo, or I'm sorry, Bettina, is working and Carl's coming over and he's being enthusiastic. Boo's like rolling her eyes at like how, I don't know, like puppy doggy he's being, how excited he is. But as he's like pitching her ideas, he starts like helping her clear tables and like help customers. And I think she starts to warm up to him and is like, oh, like maybe you're not a bad guy.
He even says like, I think you're going to be great at this. I think you might even be better than Sasha. And that like really makes her heart a flutter. Like, me? Better than Sasha?
Well, he also says, I don't feel like that's just lip service either, because he says she's got like ballet brain. She can't adapt. Mm-hmm. Like she's got to do it the right way or whatever, or the specific way.
And he's got like ideas to do their dance like a whole different way than like the normal way that Sasha and who's his name?
Jordan.
Jordan always do it.
So she starts to maybe warm up to Carl a bit. Meanwhile, back at home, we also get a quick scene where Michelle sees Mike and Fanny are watching sports together. And she sees that Fanny is like rooting for sports teams and knows who they are.
They're like eating at TV trays.
Yeah. Which having in some wine. Amy Sherman-Palladino land, when Kelly Bishop is eating at a TV tray, you know her character is changing.
Someone's got to check in on her.
But Michelle seems very happy about this. Like, this guy seems like a cool guy. Good fit.
Then a different time, she walks in on them having breakfast in the gazebo.
Yeah, and this is super funny, too, because Michael has decided to start making kinky breakfast jokes left and right, and I also find them funny. She's like, kinky breakfast is never the same without you. It's just not as kinky.
Yeah. She's kind of like, okay, we're done with that joke. And he's like, no, baby, it's the only joke we have. Yeah. It's our thing. He doesn't say that, but
no.
He's just an old man joking around.
Yeah, in a friendly way. He steps away to get some more coffee, and Michelle's like, hey, Fanny, like, you seem to be super in sync with this guy. How come it's not more serious? Like, how come you guys aren't getting married? And she's like, we've been doing this off and on. We try to keep it casual.
For, like, a long time. Like, since Hubble was a little kid.
Yeah, and she says that they talked about getting married, but then Hubble got very upset, so they didn't get married.
When Hubble was, like, 10. So this has been happening for, like, I mean, Hubble had to have been, like, at least in his mid-40s.
Yeah, I feel like you would get, yeah, maybe when he was 10, he was a baby about it. But by the time he was 20, he'd be like, yeah, go ahead and definitely marry this guy.
Right. But she says he's like, he's a pianist, which is why he's tuning the piano. But yeah, he like travels a lot for work. He does a lot of gigs and stuff. So that's
And he stays here when he can. He doesn't actually even own a house. He's like a traveling troubadour. But they definitely seem in sync. Speaking of in sync, the band, Carl shows up to practice.
Where's this going?
Carl shows up to practice with Boo, and he's like, here's some celery water. And she's like, how do you know I like celery water? And he's like, well, because like 2 years ago, you mentioned it to somebody at class, and I overheard it. And also, I'm obsessed with you. Because he's like, I remember what the weather was like and what you were wearing when you said it. She smiles, but I'd be like, that's
just
a bit
like
weird.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I just meant being in sync together because he knows her so well.
You said the band.
It was a joke because I realized how it sounded.
Gotcha.
It's celery tonic. I would be freaked out. Like, yeah, 2 years ago, I overheard something while you were wearing these pink shoes. I'd be like, all right, well, that's you know a lot about me.
What is celery tonic? Like, I think it's a real thing because you could see the label. It looked
I mean,
like
I
those,
guess
like,
it's like a celery-flavored soda water.
I'd be interested. I don't know. Cucumber sounds better.
Yeah.
But she loves it.
But Boo seems like very much like falling more for Carl and thinking like, oh, maybe this is going to work. Maybe I'll date Carl.
Like, they start dancing and he like dips her and she's like, I hope this dip lasts my entire life.
Well, she doesn't say that,
but her eyes do.
Yeah,
she's just like lost in him.
Then the director calls Michelle. He's all like, you were right about cutting this joke, great idea, you should come to the show tonight, take notes with me, and then maybe we'll grab some food after. Clearly calling for a date again. No idea when they got the phone number, but presumably she gave it to him while they were talking. So she goes to L.A. and they're both taking notes. It was also kind of funny to watch her taking notes because he's sort of like, you don't need to do that. But she's taking them anyway. They're taking notes. They're having a good time. Cut to them in bed at a hotel.
Ooh. Very clothed. This is clearly ABC Family. He's like full.
She has like her bra on. Did she have sex with him and then put the bra back on?
Well, he's wearing like a t-shirt and underwear, but they're still under the covers like they just finished.
Yeah, but also, like, I guess some women do sleep in bras, but I feel like she'd throw a t-shirt on or something. I don't know.
It felt very, this is what we gotta, because he gets up eventually, so it felt like this is what we have to wear for TV.
Totally.
Because I don't know that she was planning on staying overnight, maybe. Jason Styles doesn't like it when girls sleep in the bed with him.
Yeah, that's true. They start opening up to each other, getting to know each other. He's like, yeah, I'm sort of like a failed actor.
And she sort of is too.
Right. And they joke about some of the work they got or didn't get. He did not get an SVU, which if any actor can get on that. He's thinking it's kind of funny. He's like, either look like a rapist or someone who hunts rapists. I don't look like either of those, so I didn't get on the show.
She talks about being in like a feminine product commercial with wings.
They're laughing. They're getting along. And then she's like, oh, this has been good. It's been a long time since I've had sex. It's been like months ever since and then just starts crying. She just starts bawling. And she's like talking through it while it's happening. She's like, I think I've been in shock all this time because I've had to deal with so many things and other people's emotions. And now maybe all of my feelings about Hubble's death are coming to the surface.
Yes, exactly. I didn't like this.
No?
No, did you?
I don't know how I felt about it.
I think it's fine that she's having this breakthrough, I guess. But it felt silly in the moment, like that she was doing it with this guy. And I also didn't think she played it very well. It felt like very forced crying to me.
Yeah, I hear that.
Maybe because it's such a weird scene and that like it's supposed to be kind of funny that this is happening and like he's trying to keep it light. Like he tries to make her laugh by like repeating her line from the feminine product commercial.
Yeah.
Like that was funny. So it's like because it's jokey, I maybe just wanted it to be real.
Sure. Yeah. It's not played super serious because he's like trying to put together what she's talking about sort of comically while she's doing it.
Yeah, because he's also putting together, like, she's talking about her husband who died, not just, like, some guy she broke up with.
Yeah.
Because at first she's just like, well, I haven't since this guy. And then, like, he's finding out all this information. I mean, he's very supportive. He could just be like, get out of my room, you crazy lady.
Yeah.
But he, like, even tells her she can stay after all that, and despite his rules about women staying over. And then he's, like, a little to the left. It was a deep cut.
Speaking of asking to stay or not asking to stay, back at the house, Fanny's all like, hey, Mike, why don't you stay as long as you want? Like, there's no rush. Like, let's make it a little more serious.
Serious.
And he's all like, you know what? I will stay for a while longer. And she's very happy about that.
Yeah, I did get the feeling from the scene, though, that, like, there'll probably be an episode where he doesn't come back as soon as she'd like. Or, you know, he's more in and out than she intended. Because I think this is definitely her being like, you should live with me and we should be serious. And I think he might still, I don't get the impression he's like, he's older. I don't know that he's like out there hunting for chicks.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like that hard of a commitment in the dialogue. He was just like, yeah, maybe I'll stick around longer. I just bet that will be a point of contention at some point.
Yeah.
They didn't label it super hard.
The next day, Michelle tells Fanny that she had been thinking about Hubble and wanted to let her know. Whatever.
It seems
to make Fanny happy.
Fanny's like, thank you. Let's move on.
I'm so glad she didn't be like, when? Oh, when I was banging this other guy.
During my
part in the movie. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm supposed to be sweet, but I was like, that's fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
The girls are sort of consoling Boo about having to dance with Carl and how he looks in his like fancy outfit. I want to say I don't like Boo's outfit at all. It is a pink outfit, which remind me, although it's very different than Inara's. Connection. Ooh. Carl comes over to Boo, who, you know, he's been getting along with very well, and is like, hey, you know, we could come over tonight and watch some videos about, I guess, dancing. I don't know what he's referring to. And he's like, I could even make you a lasagna. I make lasagna. It's good. Also, I'm Jewish. He just kind of mentions that. I'd be like, oh, okay. Then the girls come over to Boo, and they're like, Carl, she's not your girlfriend, okay? She's your dance partner. She doesn't need some loser lasagna from a sad boy like you. And then they kind of like go away, and Carl's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I hate all of this. Because I will say, I get how a dance partner might be too forward and think the lines need to be blurred when they shouldn't be. And someone needs to say, like, hey, you're partners, you're not lovers.
This is like the first time he made a move. It's not like he's been consistently a creep.
Totally. And I feel like you'd wait for Boo to respond and then be like, yeah, Boo hates it. I'm fine with them even saying, hey, Carl, remember the rules. But it's weird to call him a loser and sad.
Yeah. To be fair to them, the last time they talked to Boo about this, she was complaining that she had to be with Carl.
But that doesn't even matter. Like, even if she hated Carl because she doesn't want to be with him, he has not done anything other than ask her out. You could say, hey, she's not your girlfriend. But to call him a loser and sad, why?
I agree. The loser thing is too far. They can just be like, hey, she doesn't want to date you. Sorry. Without calling him a loser or insulting his family's lasagna.
Yeah, it just seems like, why would you guys do that? That's something Sasha would do.
Yeah.
Boo seems like she doesn't know how to feel about this and feels bad, but doesn't fix it.
She says she doesn't like lasagna.
Yeah. Then Sasha shows up with blue ass hair.
Oh, well, not all of it, just some streaks.
Fanny's like, whoa, 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 you can't do that with your hair. And then they just, like, we have a little bit where they're just yelling over each other. They're just, like, screaming at each other.
Yeah.
You know, Fanny's like, you got to follow my rules. Sasha's all like, it's not always all about you. Sometimes we got to be able to do what we want.
Which is kind of fair. I don't know. Fanny's got rules. She's in charge. You made a commitment to this.
That's how I feel. It's like Fanny's rules are bullshit, but it's sort of like, well, you know, then you could go somewhere else, too. Like,
right. Like, you knew what you signed up for.
It's like a private school that no one's fucking paying for, so. Like,
yeah. But maybe Fanny could loosen up a couple rules.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know that much about dance. Like, maybe having blue hair and tan lines is just awful for dance.
I feel like the blue hair might be awful if, like, you're trying to perform. I don't know, but I feel like that's not insane, given the profession you're going into.
Fanny also has 1,000 wigs.
That's true.
She kept giving Boo wigs in that one episode.
Yeah. But the big thing is Sasha's like, yeah, well, you know what? I want to do cheerleading, which we know is a hot button issue for Fanny. She does not like or respect cheerleading. So that's like a slap in her face. And she's like, well, you can't do both.
Well, Sasha says she can't do both.
Right. Fanny agrees you can't do both and is like, you're out. Sasha storms out and then it just like closes in on Fanny's face.
I was bummed.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were going to get to see Boo and Carl's dance, but we like accidentally paused or had to pause around the time I thought they were about to dance, and I saw there was only like a minute left. I was like, oh, we're not going to see that. We're not with Sasha coming in. There's going to be a big showdown with her.
Yeah, totally. We do know, too, that earlier in this episode, Fanny was sort of proud of herself for giving this role to Boo because she's like, I had to teach Sasha something. Now she knows. And I can take this role away from her, but I need her for these other roles.
Yes.
And I'm not going to like take those away from her, but I can take this one away to teach her a lesson. And so now she's sort of like, I'm losing my star performer.
Yeah, because they've got all these shows coming up in the next few months. It's show season. And right at the end, we hear one of the girls kind of say, but what about show season? Like knowing they won't have Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know how high stakes this is. Like, you know, they are auditioning for this thing. Like, it does seem like it's a fairly respected school. So maybe these rules are like legit. Like, these girls will go on to be ballerinas and they need this discipline. But for some, it probably just is like a hobby after school thing. If like everyone in this town is dancing, it's not like all of America's best dancers happen to be born in this town. Like some are not going to be famous.
Right.
So, Brian, did you like this episode?
What I'll say is that there were a few things in this episode that I thought were pretty funny. I've already discussed them. However, no, I didn't like this episode because I'm just tired of seeing Fanny be like really shitty to everyone. And we're not even really being told from like an outside perspective that she's being too much other than Michelle sort of implying it. But Michelle's also lazy, so I don't take her word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were definitely things that I liked. Like the addition of Michael, I think that was a cool thing. But to me, that feels like a late addition. They're trying to solve a problem that they didn't initially think they needed to. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like a character we should have met in like episode 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the stuff with, like, the woman not getting up was stupid.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been a funny thing if we were, like, set in this location for the whole episode. But we got, like, 2 beats of that joke and we're done.
I guess it gave Michelle a reason to meet the director. But, like, she could have just met him on the way back from the bathroom, bumped into him or something. Didn't need... We spent a lot of time on that. There's certain things that we spend a lot of time on that aren't funny and are kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I enjoy watching the show overall. I just feel like it's not very cohesive yet.
I agree.
Like, I don't really know where it's going other than they're going to redeem Sasha or fix her or she's going to have a breakdown and be like, I do need dance and Michelle's my mentor. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or Michelle learning that she gets something out of helping these people. But it's just a very slow journey to that. But I get that they were hoping it would probably be several seasons that they'd have time to make those things happen.
And the thing for me mostly is that it's just so much of it doesn't really make sense. Like, I just don't believe that Michelle would be so kind-hearted to Fanny all the time, like doing all of this for her and not be pissy about it. Because that's kind of Michelle's character. That she'd be pissy. Anyway, this episode was pretty good. Amy is very good at writing humor. So even if the show's not amazing, it still has some really good jokes.
Yeah. I still think some of it has to do with the network it's on. Like, it's targeted for, like, just a way different audience than like Maisel is, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of targeted for a similar audience that Gilmore Girls was, but I feel like they're trying to balance this Michelle storyline and the give like the teen girls something to see in themselves with the dancer stories.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know. It feels messy.
I hear that.
But I do enjoy scenes, you know? There's always something I find very funny or clever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that being said, which episode was better?
Firefly.
Yeah. Sorry, Bunny.
Should I have waited for the suspense?
No, I think we set it up at the top, what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. This isn't quite as competitive as the original podcast, but...
But we do want to say, I want to say this right now, everybody, please. I feel like we're probably definitely going to be doing something for Amy's new show, which I have a lot of hope for.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want to say, is I have a lot of hope for her new show. Her last show was fabulous. If anything, she's hopefully going to have fewer people like making her write stuff a certain way. They're going to give her the freedom to write stuff the way she likes to write, and I think it's going to be fabulous.
I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, though, but someone told us this. That the original concept for the show was some other guy's idea, where they were like a cheerleading squad or like a color guard that was like trying to make it in a small town. And it wasn't going great. So they gave the concept to Amy. And then she sort of like engineered it to be her thing. And probably since she likes Kelly Bishop and Kelly has a dance background, she made it about dance so she could use Kelly. I'm guessing is what happened. Just based off of what someone told me and what I assume. But I think that could also be why it's a little messy. Because she's like taking a premise and trying to make it something else. And it's maybe not that easy to do.
I hear that.
Like she's trying to still honor the basic idea of what it was. But that's why that guy's credited, even though he didn't like actively work on the show. Okay. If you want to watch along, next time we'll be discussing Bunheads Episode 9, No One Takes Khaleesi's Dragons.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Just, that's the, okay. As well as Firefly Episode 9, Ariel.
Huh. Princesses. Connection.
Princesses. Connection.
In the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes discussed in this podcast.
Do you think they treated Carl too harshly?
What word do you think goes in the blank of that play's title?
How would you have tried to fix that part?
How do you think Zoe and Wash eventually hit it off?
Yeah.
Do we find out?
I don't know.
Probably not.
You can reach out by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Gilmore Slayer, where we post interactive questions, comedy sketches, and more.
Or send us an email at brianandstacyreviews@gmail.com. That's Brian with a Y and Stacy with an EY.
For more bonus content, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Brian and Stacy, where you can watch our video recaps of Angel and now Veronica Mars. We also post monthly podcast outtakes, share early extended episode previews, and host monthly live streamed watch parties where you can chat with us live.
And shout out to our new Patreon subscribers, Scary, Bree Towler, Hannah Wolf Elsner, Nora, Tanis Wobe, and Ava.
Thank you so much, everyone.
For more of our content, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, also called Brian and Stacy.
If you want to support our content, you can do so by making a donation if you're choosing via the link found at the bottom of our episode descriptions or in our social media bios.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll give you a shout-out on an upcoming podcast.
Would you like to have some kinky dinner?
I would. Just bananas.
Well, good luck. They're on the top shelf. Neither of us could reach them.
Oh my gosh. Real quick. Last weekend, there was a day where Brian and I each helped an old person.
Yeah.
You helped an old man cross the street. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then I reached something for an older lady at a grocery store. We were like, is something happening? Are we like filling some kind of karmic duty right now and something good's going to happen to us? So far, no.
Not if you do it for that reason. I don't think a good thing will happen.
I mean, I did it because the box was going to fall.
Yeah.
But I didn't help her.
I did it because the box was going to fall on this old man.
I like that old man. Well, on that note, have a good week or two.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks for checking in.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading it. No one's tuning. No one's checking. Thanks for downloading and listening all the way to the end.
If you guys could check in on us from time to time, we need it.
We're not doing great. We're not doing great. Ever since Hubble. Oh, God. It's coming back.
Oh, Hubble.
Hubble.
Oh, Willow.
Oh, Willow.
Oh, Willow.
Oh, Willow. Bye, guys.
Bye.